Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
We've got lots going on in the life of the church, and it might seem, especially after what we've just prayed and what's happened last night, that it might seem trivial in comparison to things happening in the church. But it's really important to know that actually these things aren't trivial. That what we do when we get together to pray, when we're pursuing Jesus, whether it's through a course or through our small groups, this is in fact the answer to what's going on in the world. Jesus is the answer. And as we press into him, as we get hold of his heart, as he stirs us to be praying for our nation, for those around us, that is what makes the difference. Just our first couple of highlights this morning. Firstly, this is our first, you know, each month of the year this year, we've been going deeper to go further the whole year, but especially that first week of each month. And so we're in the first week of June. And so this week is a week where we really want to set aside time as a whole church to just be pressing into God and really praying and just meeting with him. You can go to the website and sign up for the 24/7 prayer and basically say, I want to be praying for this slot and in this time for an hour or 2 hours or all night or whatever you want to be praying for, where it's like I find this helpful for me. It's like making an agreement with somebody. It happens to be a website, but it's making an agreement of I'm going to pray and I can set this side of time to intercede for our nation, to pray into God's heart for what he wants to do. So I really encourage you to get into that. We've also, this Wednesday, got our Impact Horsham meeting where we're going to get together and pray for what God is doing here. That's at 7:30 and we're going to be prayer walking again. And again, I just really want to encourage you. This is a great time to hear God's heart and to press into him and to speak what he wants to see happen, what's happening in heaven, speak it out on earth and see it happen on earth. And just giving him opportunity to move. So really want to encourage you, get into the word this week, get into just where you make some time, whether you want to fast or whatever, just be spending some time to pray and seek God and come and let's join all together as one body to pray on Wednesday. Winter, I've got a mic here I want to give you. Here we go. I've asked Winter to come up just to share a testimony about what God did in her heart with the freedom groups and the freedom encounter that we had a couple of weeks ago. Winter, what God did in you and changing your heart. So you told me that when you first heard about it, you were, and I don't want to put words in your mouth of you, but that you were a little bit cynical about hearing, okay, here we go, another course. Which I think sometimes we can all be guilty of at some point. But yeah, what did God do in your heart?
So on this particular Sunday, I did feel after what happened last night that perhaps this wasn't the best time to be exulting about a course. But I just really felt that I wanted to share, it's sign up Sunday for this Sunday for the Freedom course that everybody knows about. And what's coming out of my heart to this is to talk to the people who feel like they've been Christians forever. Because I really felt like I'd fallen into that category. I became a Christian at boarding school when I was 12. And then we had a bunch of YWAMers, that's Youth with a Mission for people who don't know, come to our house when I was 15. And actually, I found out later, Pastor Paul Taylor was one of the teenagers who came to my parents' house then. And that's when I got baptized in the Spirit. And I feel like I've done every course you could think of. I've done Crusaders, and I've done Alpha, and I've taught Alpha. And when Simon Cole said to me, so we're going to be doing this freedom course and we'd really like you and Neil to do it. I went, no, are you joking? Really? Do I have to do another course? We did a freedom course about 10 years ago. We did a freedom course. Do I really have to do another one? And he went, it's really good. You really will enjoy it. It's actually really different. I went, oh, okay. And it was January and it was like wet and cold and dark. And it's like coming to Horsham is an hour round trip for us every Monday night. And I thought, really? And then, worse still, he said, and you'll be in different groups because we split the men from the women. I went, Mensch, are you joking? What is this about? However, I'm standing here before you today to tell you I was really wrong about this course. It's actually probably, I think, the best course I've ever done. And right from week one, you learn about, and you've heard about this, I'm not spoiling it for you, you've heard about this from Clive. It's you learn to move out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil into the tree of life. And I think you could have been a Christian your whole life. And by being a Christian, I don't mean we're born that way. It's when I gave my life to Jesus deliberately. And you could have done that forever and not realize that you're operating out of a knowledge of tree and of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And we have to move out of that assessment of good and evil into the tree of life, where we learn to give life and love, and it changes everything. It changes how you look at people. It changes how you think about situations. It changes how we think about what happened last night. Everything. God is in everything. He's in it for June the 8th as well this week, guys. Take up your cross and stick it on that piece of paper. But you can talk to God about where he wants that cross to go. Everything. God is in everything. And this course really helps you to see that and grasp it. There's it's 12 weeks, and there's only like three videos where you, sort of the beginning, the middle and the end. And you get into these groups, and the whole point is that you discuss stuff. And I think for many people, you come to church on a Sunday morning, you sit in rows and you get fed from the front. But it's not till you get in a group situation, like Clive has often said, it's like a family situation where you sit around the dining room table and discuss stuff. And when you talk about God, when you discuss how relevant this is actually to today, and you begin to think, wow, this is actually really different. And you get given a book. I wanted to bring mine with me today, but I think in all of the hullabaloo of last night, I just completely forgot it. But it's quite a big book. So that's why there's a charge on this course, because there's some course materials. And you fill in this stuff as you go, and that also really helps. You know, like our kids have to do homework at school. It really hurts. I know somebody who's doing revision now for his Deloitte exams. And, you know, you really have to learn your stuff and talk about your stuff to know it. And I think you cannot just come to church on Sunday and sit in a row facing the front and think it's going to change your life. Right. It might, but you do have to get in a group and talk about this. Right. Study it, chat about it, argue about it if you want to, learn. There are some sacred cows that have to be killed. Those are mindsets, religious mindsets that we always thought we knew about God. You're actually completely wrong. Some of them might be really wrong. And yet you have your whole mind changed about God and changed about other people.
Great.
And I just think, wow, it really is a different kind of course.
Oh, man. Thanks. That was great. Thanks, Winter. So all of the information on my sheet, I don't have to worry about communicating. Thanks, Winter. Genuinely, this is, it's not like just a course, you know, like another thing to do. This is really an opportunity to give God to transform lives. You can sign up on the website. It's the best way to do it, because you can fill out all your details. It's really easy. It speeds everything up and it makes it way easier. So you can do that today, or you can just wait till you get home, and you can do it when you get home or any time in the week. But I would encourage you to do that. The sooner, the better. But do that on the website. If there's anybody who doesn't have access to the internet for whatever reason, or you don't have a smartphone or a computer at home, there is a laptop going to be out at the back here where you can sign up online here later today if you need to. But if you can do it at home yourself, that would save time for those who can't and have to do it here. So that'd be great, signing up today. Next, there's also a Jerusalem prayer breakfast on Saturday the 10th of June, 9:30 to 12 in the Hub. And that's to find out more about how the church can stand with Israel and pray for Jerusalem. It's called a prayer breakfast. You do have to bring your own breakfast. So bring a packed breakfast, bring something to share, but it'll be great. So that's here Saturday the 10th of June, 9:30 till 12. Also, we have got Flourish coming up this Wednesday, 2 till 4 p.m. Is there anyone here who's free between 2 and 4 p.m. on Wednesday? Okay, no one. Okay. No, if you are free 2 till 4 on Wednesday, Flourish is where we get people, older people in the community come together, and they eat and share together and play games and just really bless these guys in our communities. And it's just a great opportunity to, again, share with those who might not otherwise be able to come here on a Sunday or any other time, just about the life of Jesus and who he is, and just love them and just chat with them, which is fantastic. So 2 till 4 here on Wednesday. If you want to know anything more about what's going on in the life of the church, then you can grab yourselves a copy of Church Life, which is out on the info point, or the website, or Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and everything else. But right now, I would like to invite Matt and Rowan up to come and share with us just what's been going on with them. Yeah, let's honor these guys.
They're serving God as missionaries over in Bosnia and Herzegovina, and they're doing a great job. So we just want to hear how you're doing and, yeah, what's God been doing?
Great. Thanks very much. Good morning, everybody. I'm aware some of you might be going, Bosnia and Herzegovina. What is that? Where is that? Imagine you jumped in a car right now, drove towards Folkestone, crossed into France, through France into Germany, to the south of Germany, Austria, all the way across Austria, Slovenia, across Croatia, you get to Bosnia and Herzegovina. You'll be there about tomorrow evening sometime. So that's where we are. It's a small country, part of the former Yugoslavia, about 3.8 million people. People in Bosnia and Herzegovina are born into one of three ethnic groups. They're either born a Muslim, or they're born a Catholic, or they're born into the Serb Orthodox. And those kind of ethnic or religious identities really define everything about their existence. Stuff is really, really divided to the point that sometimes it almost looks a bit like apartheid to our eyes, through schools and social stuff that goes on. In that, we're working for an organization called Novimos, working with young people and working alongside the local evangelical church. And we reckon there might be 500 Protestant Christians in that country. That's 0.01% of the population, which means that you would, for every 10,000 people, you'd find one person going to a Protestant church, which means in Horsham, there'd be about six of you. Clearly, praise God, there are a few more than six here this morning. We could take this church, this congregation this morning, add one other reasonably sized congregation in town, and you'd have all the Protestant Christians in Bosnia and Herzegovina. So it's a very different picture of church. But we're seeing God do exciting things through the youth work we're doing, really attracting young people into the life of the church and also in our community. And Ron's going to talk a little bit about something that's been super, super exciting over the past couple of months.
Okay, so is this working? No. Okay, I'll just... this story kind of starts a couple of years ago when I was at an event for kind of the Nation Day, and I saw a choir singing in the town where we live, and I love choirs and I love singing, and I hadn't been in one for a really long time, and I just was like, I want to join this choir. And I asked my friend, who are these people? How can I join this choir? And she said, oh, they're the Croatian Cultural Society. They probably won't let you in because they're very nationalistic, and obviously you're not from a Croatian background. And I just thought, well, what have I got to lose? I'm just going to ask anyway. So I found out the name of the girl who leads it, found her on Facebook, sent her a message, and she said, yeah, come along. So I went and found the people to be really lovely and welcoming, not at all what I was expecting after what this person had said to me. So fast forward till about a year ago, and our pastor, her sister moved back from another town in Bosnia where she'd been living. Now, their family is technically Muslim family. Obviously, she's our pastor, so she's not a practicing Muslim. But by their names, if they say their names, people will automatically assume that they are Bosnian Muslims, because everybody's name kind of shows what ethnic group they come from. So this girl moved back to our town, and she loves singing as well. And she said, oh, I'd love to be in that choir with you, but because of my name and my family background, will they let me in? So I said, well, they let me in. Let's see. So I asked and said, you know, I've got this friend, Sanella. She really loves singing. Can she join the choir? And they were like, well, yeah, why not? So she joined as well. And after a few more months, her sister-in-law, who comes from a mixed Bosnian Muslim and Serb background, also was like, oh, I'd quite like to join that choir. So we asked again, and they were like, yeah, why not? So we might even be the first ever Croatian Cultural Society that doesn't only have Croatian people in it, which is really exciting. But what's even more exciting is we just had an Easter concert, and the girl who runs the choir decided we would sing Oh Happy Day in English. And she asked Sanella, who's our pastor's sister, to sing the main part. And then she asked Matt if he would play piano. And then she asked me if I would play bass. So basically it turned out to be the worship team of our church playing whilst the choir sang in the background. And there was quite a lot of people at the concert. I don't know, maybe 500 people or something. It's a popular event in the town. And the atmosphere was just amazing. And afterwards, so many people came up and were commenting about it. And a couple of people came to Sanella, this girl who everyone assumes would be a Muslim by her name, and said, oh, it was really interesting when you sang, the atmosphere. It was like you weren't doing a concert. It was like you were singing to Jesus. And she said, I was singing to Jesus. And people were like, whoa, how is that possible? So that was just a great opportunity. And a month later, we sang the same song again in another concert, which was like a festival of spiritual poetry and music. So that included Islamic things as well as things from Christian background. And we were the final thing in the concert, which left it with a really great atmosphere of everyone thinking about Jesus. And after the concert, the RE teacher from the Croatian school, because like Matt said, schools are divided. So the RE teacher from the Croatian school came to me and he said, "Do you have a priest for your church here in Yaitza?" And I said, "Well, we have a pastor, yeah." And he said, "Can you give me the phone number? Because I'd really like to bring my year five class to come to your church and just to see what it's like and to hear about what you believe." And I was like, "Okay, no problem." And so a week later, this year five class all turned up in our church and our pastor was able to share why she believes in Jesus. And she was able to say, "My name is Dina Haider, which is technically a Muslim name, and I believe in Jesus." And it was just a really, really exciting thing. And if someone had said to us 6 months ago that that would happen, we'd be like, no, that's miles away, years away before something like that happens. And it's just, doors are just opening, and it's really exciting. I mean, we had, a few years ago, we had kids who were coming to our events saying, "Oh, some of the teachers in our school say we shouldn't come here because you like believe in some funny things." But we told them you're all right and we'll come anyway. But now a teacher from that school has actually brought his class into the church because he wants them to know about what we believe. So it's kind of given us a whole new level or whatever in the community. So yeah, it's great.
So the week before we came, we were at Big Church Day out last weekend, but the Sunday before that, Dino got up and preached. And for me, it was probably the most exciting thing I've heard her speak in the 7 years we've been in the town, because it was just so full of faith. And you could see she has really caught what God is doing. And she's doing a lot of sports ministry, reaching loads of kids through town. Doors are opening up in a fantastic way for her. And it really is that thing of, she was saying to the church, you know, let's realize the season we're in. Let's realize what God is doing. And she was preaching from Psalm 65. There's just one verse I want to read out. It says, "You crown the year with a bountiful harvest. Even the hard pathways overflow with abundance." And that really hit me. Like, that's a word for us. That's a word for the church where we are. It's a hard place. And lots of people know that. Lots of people in the church are very disillusioned and very disheartened by things that go on. But right where we are in the little church we're part of, maybe 12 people together, God is moving, and it's exciting to see. And we really believe to see that abundance. So if you are praying at any time for us and the work we're involved in, just pray that, please, that we would really see that bountiful harvest in what we're doing, because it's right there and it's so, so exciting. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
If you want to find out more about what Matt and Rowan are doing, you can follow their blog on YouTube at youtube.com/WeDoAdventure. And I'm checking out a few of their videos now, and they're just seeing what's going on. It's really great because it just reminds you, this is what's happening outside of my immediate realm, my immediate neighborhood. I want to agree with them, we'll support them in prayer, like stand with them. And yeah, it's great. So I encourage you to do that, youtube.com/WeDoAdventure. Great. Now, the bit of this morning I've been most looking forward to, really excited about, this morning is our baptism service. And I want to invite our guys that are getting baptized this morning, if you want to come up and join me up here, because we want to hear from you, your testimonies, your stories, what's God done in you to get you to this point, because this is great. So Audrey, you're up first. I'll give you this one. So Audrey, we want to just ask you, what's your story? What's your testimony? This is unique to you. No one else has a story like you, and so like yours. So when, yeah, just share, what's God done in you to bring you to this point?
Throughout my life, always believed there was a God, but I didn't really acknowledge God to that. But I knew he was there, and I just carried on in life doing my own thing, thinking that what I was doing was what I'm meant to be doing. But there was something sort of missing every time I was either buying something, purchasing something that was exciting at the time, like, oh, I'm going to get that handbag, go to those shoes, or that sort of thing. And then when I got home and put it on and went out in it, it just seemed to sort of like, after I worn it, that was it. That whole thing about it just wore off, and I thought to myself, there's something missing in my life that doesn't seem quite right. So anyway, as I carried on in my life, I started to kind of like carry on doing what I was doing, and I started to go onto the internet, have a look around, and then I started looking at God. It just sort of appeared to me, God. So I started to look further on the internet, listen to, you know, the pastor speaking, and it suddenly become to be more prevalent to me that yes, there is a God, and I should really be acknowledging him, but I wasn't. But what I was actually doing was I was actually bypassing God, because I used to go to like psychics and have readings done. I actually used to do tarot card readings myself. And I thought to myself, in the end, that I'm not sure if that's really the answer that I'm really looking for. I was looking for God in all the wrong places. So I decided to knock that on the head and not do that anymore. And what I did was I started to meet people. It was like God was bringing people towards me, like a calling was coming. Like, you know, this is the way you should be going. This is the way I should be going. And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, this feels right. This is the way I should be going. So in the end, I started to feel like I was moving towards God and not obviously away from him. And as I started to get more into God, people were starting to come towards me who were also filled with God and walking on that same particular path. I was a smoker and for many, many years. And as I was praying and getting more into the word and God, basically I was able to give up smoking in a matter of 2 days, prayer and fasting, which I thought was so powerful. I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, no smoking. And that was about November last year. And right now, right, I'm non-smoker. If anyone smokes, I'm like shooing them away. Go away with the smoke. I don't like it. I thought, what are you doing smoking around me? Go away. So basically, God has done that in my life. It's also, I was never really an organized type of person. I just sort of do things as I went along. But what I found is after walking with God and doing my prayers, and I started to find myself being organized. Like my bills and that, my daughter would say, my bills are scattered all over the place and everything was just not where it's supposed to be. But as God started to move in my life, I found that I started to become more organized, as God is a perfect organizer. And everything started to come together. And before, I noticed I used to wear skirts a long, long time ago. But as time was going by, I was starting to find myself wearing trousers. I'm like, trousers? That's not really me, because I'm quite a feminine person. And anyway, I started to find out I wanted to dress differently. So I started to find out I want to wear some skirts. And when I looked in my wardrobe, to my surprise, I didn't have any skirts. So I thought to myself, I better go and buy some skirts. So I did. I couldn't believe it. I was all in trousers all the time. Trousers with this, trousers with that. And I said, God has moved so much in my life that I'm so grateful for the transformation, where I've come from the darkness into the marvelous kingdom of glory and light. Glory to God.
All right. Thank you. That's awesome. Thanks, George. I think it's amazing to see, like, just buying skirts, obviously, you know, sounds great. Maybe not for me, but like, great. But actually, there's something in there, you know, God changing the way how you identify with yourself and as a woman. And that's amazing. You know, the smoking, just the spiritual stuff, but even just in your identity is awesome. So we're well excited to celebrate with you this morning. You're baptized. If you want to make your way over to the tank. And I would encourage you guys, if you want to jump to your feet and come and let's crowd around these guys and just get right up there so we can film it, take photos on your phone. That's all great. Like, encourage them, come and pray with them. Let's stand with them and just, really encourage these guys together. Guests, if any guests, you're more than welcome to make your way up there so you can get some good photos in there.
Audrey, it's been wonderful watching how God has changed you in this house. Yeah, I know he's been doing so much stuff. Together, we want to celebrate with you. We know that this represents your death and being born again. So are you ready at this point right now just to take that last final step and just celebrate in front of all of us? Yeah, okay. So cross your hands over here. Okay, you can hold your nose. Of course you can. It's not going to stop God. Audrey, we've heard the confession of your faith in Christ Jesus, and right now we gladly baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Father, I just thank you right now that from the confession of Audrey, Father, we just pray, Lord, you come now and you just fill her afresh with your Holy Spirit, Father. We just thank you for the power that you give to us, Father, of you living in us and how that enables us to live in the way that you want to, Father. I just thank you now that Audrey will just be filled afresh with your power, your life, Father. And I just thank you, today is a new day for Audrey. The things that have been spoken over her, the things that have been said to her, Father, that actually it's what you say over her life that matters. I thank you that her life will be defined by what you say about her. And I just thank you that and speak that over Audrey's life today. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Fantastic. Great. Well, Josh, you're closest. Josh, want to make your way over here? I will give you that. So, Josh, what do you want to just share with us for a minute? What has God done in you? Yours is a completely different story to Audrey's, and yet it's just as powerful in that this is what God's done in your life.
So I've been in church all my life. They're my parents. They've always been in church with me and my brother, who's wonderful. But going to church for a long time, but I've been more go to church, listen sometimes join in, and then go home and just ignore everything. It was kind of not really engaging, but then sometimes it was more, sometimes it was less. So I've been to faith camp every year, apart from one. And at the age of 8 in Power Pack, I was given the gift of tongues. But I never really used it in my life. I just kind of had it and thought, well, that's nice. I just maybe use that sometime. It was kind of like I was walking next to God, but not with him. But really, when I went to university, things started to change. So first of all, I feel God sent me to a certain university, because when I applied to Birmingham, I'd never actually been to Birmingham. And then he sent the offer, and I thought, well, I better go. But through university, there's been hard times. In first year, I was quite lonely. I shared a flat with 2 Greeks and someone from Brunei, so they didn't really speak English, so I was quite on my own. And also with the work and everything, but he was really there with me and growing. He provided me with a house for second year, late, too much stress with my mum. growing through second year, and then in third year, I kind of feel a lot of work to do, kind of stressing about it, but he's really brought a real sense of peace. So whilst everyone else is stressing about, oh, I've got this essay to do, I've got this dissertation, I've kind of been like, I did it 2 weeks ago. What have you got to worry about? It's really been bringing stress. And then a particular time of when I decided to get baptized, I was walking into university, going to visit the careers advisors, listening to my music as I do. And then I just felt God say, put Hillsong on shuffle. I've got over 100 songs. I thought, okay. I was quite near the end, so I wouldn't normally change my music, but I did. And then just the song In Control came on. I thought, it's time to put him in control.
Great. Awesome. Well, Josh, we're well excited today to see you make that next step in putting God in control, and delighted to just celebrate your baptism with you. I would not take your phone in with you, though, if I were you. Do you want to make your way over into the tank?
Josh, it's great to hear the testimony of what God's doing in your life. And we just thank him that the reality of who he is in your life becomes deeper and deeper, not only for you to see, but for other people to see in your life, that actually as you walk around, God is going to use you without actually speaking. So we just thank you for the reality of who God is in your life and your testimony. So today it's with great honor that based upon your confession, that we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Father, I thank you that this is a pivotal time of declaration in Josh's life. Father, I thank you there is a release now into him in the power of your Holy Spirit. That, Father, you've put something deep inside him today that marks him in an even better way, a stronger way, because of his submission to you. We just speak a fresh release over you. In Jesus' name, we declare that you are part of a royal priesthood, that nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We speak a fresh release of the anointing of God on your life to prophesy, to pray, and to release him into other people's lives. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Awesome. Stu, you're up next.
Hello. My journey started as a young child when my parents gave me a children's Bible. I used to love the stories and the pictures. My parents also gave me the story of Jesus on a cassette tape, and I used to spend hours listening to this. I went to a Church of England primary school, and I was introduced to the teachings of Jesus on a regular basis. This early foundation has helped me in my later life. My teenage years were turbulent. I moved away from God and became involved with drugs and the wrong people, etc., the usual suspects, and consequently developed an illness. For 20 years, I studied, practiced, and dabbled with other religions and beliefs, but I never felt content with them. I was really quite lost. God was always on my mind, but I did not understand God at that time. Someone suggested that I should pray, and they also gave me a Bible reading plan, so I read the Bible over the course of a year. I attended a church and started to grow in my faith with God, and in September 2014, I asked Jesus to come into my life, and I was saved, and I have continued to grow. I have been attending a Bible study group with Annie and Ingrid, and this group has really strengthened me in my understanding and faith. Thank you.
Right. Awesome. Stuart, if I could ask you, in a sentence, why is it you want to get baptized today?
For the love of Jesus and God.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it is our absolute privilege and honor to celebrate this with you this morning as you just take this next step in everything that God's got for you. So if you want to make your way over, we're going to celebrate with you.
Stu, it's brilliant hearing about your walk with the Lord. He's clearly done so much in your life already, hasn't he? Yeah. And you know, God, you can't outgive God. No. So as you give yourself more and more fully into him, he's always going to give more back. Absolutely. And this act of just coming to baptism, that's an act of submission. Absolutely. Yeah. And God wants you to know this morning, like we said before, this is a celebration of your death. Yeah. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Yeah. Amen. The old Stuart's gone.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And as we baptize you, we're celebrating the old Stuart's gone. Yeah. We're going to flush him down the plug later on. But the new Stuart's going to rise out. That's yeah. Right. So because of the baptism of your faith, the acceptance of your faith in Christ Jesus, we baptize you now into him in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yes, Stuart, we just speak over you. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. Any of those things that are in your mind or have held you back are broken over your life from this today. We just speak a newness of the Holy Spirit over you now. We just pray, Lord, you just come and fill him afresh. Fill him afresh now for that power that you need him in his life. But we just break anything over his life now in the name of Jesus that's held him back. I thank you, Lord, that you speak new things to Stuart. I thank you, Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for him to walk in, Father. And we just thank you, Lord, that we're going to enjoy watching him work that out as a family together, him growing as a man of God, and how he's going to affect other people's lives to see them come to a knowledge and understanding of you also. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And last, but by no means least, we've got Ching. And I hope you don't mind me saying this, Ching, but I'm so blessed that you're here this morning, because we met to talk about baptism, what does baptism represent, and all those kind of things a little while ago. But it wasn't till yesterday that I got a call saying, do you know what? I've made the decision. Let's do this. I want everything that God's got for me. So I was praying the whole time like that you would want to make that decision. So I'm really thankful that you're here. But do you want to... You share us what's your story, what's your testimony?
Right, okay. It's quite scary standing here. I mean, When I first come to this country, I was literally shaking when I answered a phone. So,
you do great.
It's only yesterday I made the decision. my background, everybody can see, I come from China, and I grew in China, and which, by the time when we were raising up, we are no believers. We don't believe anything supernatural. So even Buddhist for Chinese, you know, we're not allowed to talk about all these things. So it's really, really hard for me to believe really God is there. So even though when I come here many years, I met lots of believers, then I'm immediately drawn to them. I like them because they're all very kind. I can feel those harmony, peace in them. But it's just, for me, it says, really? God is there? There's no proof to me, you know. My brain's ticking, ticking. No sign. It's only I met Mercy Hardy. Where is she? She's from here. Yeah. Yeah, she found me in the school playground. She can't see anybody standing along. She said, I was too sad. So she came to talk to me, and she introduced me to bring my daughter to the Friday nightclub used to have there. So I gradually know this church a little bit, but I'm still willing. I'm not sure. And last year I had, my life changed upside down, and I was, in pain, great painful. And Mercy told me, he said, well, there's no solution. Why don't you just talk to God? He may be able to help you. You know, just talk. I said, how can I talk? She says, anybody, when you're in the kitchen, you say, hello, dear, blah, blah. Yeah, well, I started to do it, you know, because also there's no other way, you know. And I find peace in me, you know. I do feel like, oh, I did get better, you know. So I'm starting to believe that there is something, but still crossing the line for me is super, super hard because my brain keep telling me, no. So I can't believe. But Mercy, she was a born believer, I think. So I'm trying to seeking someone halfway. So then Annie there, what is she? Yeah, I meet her, and she's, I forgot one thing, sorry. Maybe quite long, this story. Mercy said, tell me one thing, which is really take me, the first take, because I have asked quite a lot of believers. I said, how can you prove to me God is there? So I asked the same question to Mercy. Mercy says, I cannot prove it, but it's a choice. It's you believe or not. So that is the first thing, take me. So, oh, it's my making a choice. So when Annie talked to me, I said, you know, I read Bibles, but I got millions of questions I can't answer. I just get lost. And Annie says, no, you're looking in the wrong direction. You know, Jesus is behind you, you know, but you are seeking him here. So if you see the prayer, you turn your back, he's there. So I went home, and then I think, yeah, because I can't find any answer here, maybe I should turn back, you know. And also Annie says, it's not your brain, you know, it's in your heart. Use your heart. Switch your brain, use your heart. So I really just, you know, keep down, feel, and I feel something there, I said. Then I think it's a week later, I tell Annie and Mercy, I said a prayer. That's it. But I still cannot decide it. I want to do the baptize when you talk to me. Because sometimes my brain still come back. Yeah, that's coming back. No. But last week when I met Colin, and I was really think about it, and I was worried about my parents as well, you know, because they come from China, and they see my big change, what they will say. But they are lovely parents. They support me. They said, you should do it. You know, if you feel like you should do it, and also, so I made the last decision. I said, yes, I will do it. And I can't wait the next time, which is December. Yeah. And also I thought, because I may have a business trip to China next week. I thought, I don't want to fly this time or go there, do something without God close to me.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah. Awesome. I love when we met the other day and you said, do you know what? I couldn't wait till December. If I'm making a decision for Jesus, I need to make it with all my heart. And just, yeah, so thankful that you're here this morning and just can't wait to celebrate with you getting baptized. So if you want to make your way over to the guys and yeah, we celebrate.
Yeah, Ching, it's great to hear your testimony and what God's doing in your life. And what God has been saying is that in everything that he's there, he's always been there. You may not have known he was there, but he was always there. And actually, we think that when he starts calling, it's the first time he was there. But I think God is just going to show you as you walk how he's been there in your life and getting you to this point to take you into a new place with him. So I just thank you that you're giving this level of submission in your life, but actually God is going to build that foundation and a depth and continue to prove who he is in your life through your testimony, through the things that you see happen for your family and your friends. So based upon your confession today, we just take great honor in baptizing you now in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Father, we celebrate with you this morning over this life transformed. Father, we thank you that superstition plays no part in her life anymore. That the old has truly and completely gone as she's been planted into you, grafted into the body of Christ by the power of her confession and by the power of your blood. Right now, we speak a total infilling of the Holy Spirit into your mind, into your heart, into your very soul. So the Holy Spirit calls to your spirit in a fresh and powerful way. We release worship and prayer and tongues in a fresh flow. Father, we thank you that we can celebrate with her in the power of the Holy Spirit. I see a worshiper. I see one who communes with God, someone who goes right into the holy place and spends time. I see someone who gets just consumed. Time gets lost as she spends time with you, Father. God says to you, come up here. Come to me with every issue, every problem, every concern, and just leave it with me. The world says you should worry. I say, be at peace. Come to me. Come up here. Come up here. Regularly come up here. Father, we thank you. Hallelujah.
Oh man, fantastic. Because if you'd like to take your seats, I love baptisms. Just that picture of new life of people finding, you know, that like David was saying there in the baptistry, the baptism is that old life dying and the coming of the new life. And it's great to see. I kind of wonder though, like if we had loads of people, you know, had 100 people needing to get baptized, like how you'd get through everybody. And I thought about maybe you could sort of get like a kind of rudimentary kind of flume system. And, you know, like you have a red and a green light and you sit in the tube at the top on confession of your faith, the light goes green, send them down and you'd have people up at different points on a ladder along the way in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, splash. Like you could get through them pretty quick that way. So maybe it's something to think about. I don't know. I'll put it in with the building refresh plans, and see how we go. Somebody was telling me about a baptism. I'm not sure if it was here or it was another church. I can't remember. And the guys baptizing people said, is there anyone else here who's made a decision to give their life to Jesus, who wants to get baptized right now? And this guy put up his hand and, you know, thinking, okay, come up, we'll pray with you and stuff. But he was so keen, he just ran to the front and did like a cannonball, you know, from the side. Straight in, baptizing everybody around the pool, the carpet, and the first three rows of chairs, you know, with the tidal wave that came out. It's like, yeah, that's like, I think if the Apostle Peter, you know, was got saved today, that's exactly what he would have done. You know, just like, cannonball, and in. But today I thought was really interesting that today in the church calendar is Pentecost Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate, the disciples meeting in the upper room after Jesus had died, he'd come back to life, he'd revealed himself to them, and then he said, wait for my Holy Spirit. And then they're meeting there, and the tongues of fire came, like the Holy Spirit came on them like tongues of fire, and they went out, and they started to speak and to minister and to witness and see miracles, and everything that God wanted to do, he empowered them to do, and they went out. And this morning, obviously, we're baptizing these guys in water, but I just think it's such a great picture of what God wants to do in all of us. And just to give a little bit of kind of clarity on this whole, like, how does this work? Baptizing the Spirit, baptizing in water, what's this all about? We start off in John 3, Jesus talking to this chap about how do I get saved? How do I see the kingdom of heaven? Jesus says, you must be born again. And they're talking about, like, how can I go back into my mother's womb? It wouldn't fit. Like, how does that work? And Jesus is saying, no. Okay, so you get born of water. And what he's talking about is not baptism of water. He's like born of water, like, you know, when a woman's water breaks and goes into labor, it's like when you're born. So to know God, you have to be a person. So you have to be born. That's the first step. He then goes on to say, then you must be born of the Spirit. So we get born of water, born of Spirit. That's when we get to know Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes to live in us. Without that, we couldn't know him. Without that, we couldn't see the kingdom of God. So we need to be a person and then we need to be born of his Spirit. We give our lives to Jesus. Next, usually, certainly in the New Testament, comes baptized in water. And the word baptized means to submerge. So we've got born of water, born of Spirit, baptized or submerged in water, and everything we looked at this morning, that representing the old life dying, the new life in Christ, it's that part of that being born of Spirit and being baptized in water is kind of part and parcel of the same thing, of this just identifying with Jesus and saying, you're my Lord, my old life is gone, I'm following you. And then our next step, we've got born of water, born of Spirit, baptized in water, baptized in Spirit. And this is what we read about in Acts, where the Holy Spirit comes on the guys. And that wasn't for them to take hold of it. That fire over their heads and stuff wasn't so they could kind of like sit down, slippers on, pipe out, you know, read the newspaper by curled up by the fire. You know, it wasn't a thing for themselves to keep. It was a thing to send them out. And just kind of thinking about this and praying about this and, you know, God, this is Pentecost Sunday and what do you want to say to us through that and all that kind of thing. I was reminded of when I first got saved. I got baptized in the Spirit about a year after I got saved. And I was so excited because I knew, I'd read my Bible, this is God's sending power. So I started to go out and I was like, when I got baptized in the Spirit, I just went out and every person I met, I would say, are you sick? Can I pray for you? Because the Bible says that you lay hands on the sick and they get better. And I remember going into my college and going up to people and going, have you got any problems? You know, you obviously get a little bit of a funny look. But praying for people and seeing miraculous healings in front of me. Or, you know, like a Muslim girl with a frozen shoulder suddenly starts spinning her arm around and going, what happened? What did you do to me? My shoulder feels so much better. There's no problem now. Do my boyfriend. And praying for her boyfriend and seeing a lump on his neck going, and then to like find another woman who needed fillings and praying for her teeth, and she got to the dentist and she didn't need fillings anymore. Her teeth had like regrown in or whatever. I remember walking down the street and going, Jesus, I want to walk by your Spirit. I want to walk by your Spirit. I want to learn to be so attentive to your Spirit. So I'd shut my eyes, wouldn't recommend this, shut my eyes walking down the street and going, okay, Jesus, you're just going to have to tell me when I've got to stop. You know, you're going to have to tell me when I turn left or right, otherwise I'm going to walk into a bus. Not a really wise idea. I don't recommend it. But there was something in my heart of, Holy Spirit, I want you to do what you want to do. Use me, whatever that might look like. I was just so passionate. And I was thinking, I'm not saying that that's died. Now I just want a comfy life or anything like that. But I think there is something, there's a reason why, you know, in Revelation, we read about coming back to your first love.
there's got to be this constant turning back to Jesus, because it's so easy to, like, I love Ching's testimony, really resonated with me, that, like, you know, this reason keeps switching on. And it might sound like, well, are you saying that I can't use reason and, you know, logic and things like that? And, well, that sounds unreasonable, so I don't want any of that. But I kind of think of it like this. When I was in a supermarket the other day, I had a mother and her son in the queue behind me. And the son was really small, and he said like this, really kind of thoughtful voice. He says, okay, Mum, I've thought about it, and I've worked out, okay, what you have to do is this. If I pick up something and put it in the basket, you have to buy it. If I don't pick something up, you don't have to buy it. But you can if you want to. And he like reasoned this out with his mum as though his mum was about to go, oh my goodness, how have I never thought of that? That is genius. That way you can have all of the chocolate and sweets you want. Your teeth will like rot themselves out. This will be great for you. Why did I not think of this before? But I don't have to buy if you don't put it in. Genius idea. You know, that wouldn't be loving for the mother to accept this kind of reasoning. In the same way, I think often I've heard people say, do you know what? I would know God if he did this. I would believe in God. If right now, like Jesus walked through the door, I'd believe in God. If God were to meet us at our reason and to do something like that, the very birthplace, the very first step of our Christian journey would be born out of self-righteousness and you do it my way. And when you do it my way, but we can never know Jesus like that. And just like a good father, you know, or this mother with her son doesn't go, do you know what? That's a genius idea. You're like, your reasoning doesn't quite, your thinking isn't quite as high as my thinking yet. And in the same way, God's thinking is above our thinking. He goes, it might sound like great reasoning to you, but it's not for your good. To know me, to know my life that I have for you, it has to be born out of humility. It has to be born out of actually a realization that my ways aren't good enough. My reasoning isn't good enough. And, to come back to that place of, okay, submit to you, Jesus. And whether that's you've never known him or you've known him all your life and you that place of, I need to come back to my first love. That's where we want to be, right? That's where we want to be. I tried reasoning with my wife last night, actually. I had my parents visiting and they'd made dinner and we just had this lovely pineapple upside down cake and I was absolutely stuffed and it was great. Who makes pineapple upside down cake apart from mums? It was great. And Kate, my wife, she just tapped me on the shoulder and said, come on, let's do the clearing up. It'll only take 5 minutes if we both did it. And I reasoned with her and I said, yeah, but it would only take you 10 minutes if you did it on your own. If looks could kill, half the northern hemisphere would not be around right now. It would have exploded. But she knew I was joking. She knew I was joking. And she was joking too. She wasn't really angry. Love you. Love you. If looks could kill right now. Melting shoes. No, I was joking. Seriously, we went and cleared up the kitchen. It only took 5 minutes, the two of us. It was great. But, yeah, this kind of like reasoning of like, no, I want it doing my way doesn't always work out. And actually the best way is to agree with God. And, just to share a real quick testimony, that happened recently. Kate had some stomach problems, really painful stomach, like it kept happening. And we prayed a couple of times and nothing happened. And we were praying once and just like, I just was getting a bit annoyed almost. And I just felt God say, listen to me. Just listen to me. Don't just do your presumption of I'm going to pray for you and it's going to listen to me. And I felt God just speak this little bit of a verse. In 1 Timothy, where Paul writes to Timothy and he says, take a little wine for your stomach. And I'd always kind of wondered about that. I thought, why didn't he just pray for him, you know? But anyway, this is what I felt God say. Take a little wine for your stomach. So it's not like we had, you know, like a bottle of Shiraz or anything like that. We took a little bit. It was almost like taking communion, like just a little tiny bit. And she just had a sip. And the moment she did, it was gone. And it was just like God saying, just come, I'm just calling you back to that place where even in the weird things, like the things that seem superficial or not that important, like just, okay, I'm going to be obedient to changing the song on my iPod because God, you want to speak to me through that. To, I'm going to buy new skirts because God, you're speaking to me about my identity. To, God, I'm just going to listen to you and I'm not going to do the thing I think I should do. I'm going to do what you say. This coming back, or whether you've never known Jesus and you've said, do you know what? I would, but only if he does this. I'd want to challenge you this morning. Come to that place of saying, do you know what? How do you want me to know you, Jesus? Pastor Gary Rumbold in the church here, he's got this great saying. He says, people so often want to get saved, but not in the way Jesus wants to save them. And Jesus is longing to know you if you don't know him this morning, and to reveal to you the kind of life that we've heard a bit about through his testimonies this morning. But it's got to come from that starting place of, Jesus, how do you want me to know you? I want to do it your way. So let's, we've got to finish there. We've run out of time, but before we go anywhere, I think it's really important we just respond to this, because if we don't respond to something that God's saying, then it's kind of pointless listening to it, right? So would you stand with me and let's just pray this through. Now, if you're here and you've never known Jesus and you're one of those people who's maybe said, I want to know God, but I've just not known how, or I've wanted to do it a different way. But this morning, you're willing to give him an opportunity to say, I want to save you, do it my way. Then I would want to encourage you to just pray with me right now. Let's all pray this and just agree together. Jesus, I want to know you. Would you show yourself to me the way that you want to do it? Whatever you ask of me, I want to do that. Because Jesus, I know my way is not good enough, and it will never give me the peace or the salvation that I know that only comes from you. So Jesus, I invite you, would you be king of my life? Would you be in charge? I want to say right now, I'm sorry for doing it my way. I'm sorry for that, my sin, that stuff that is against you. And I choose right now to give you opportunity. Jesus, I want you. And if that was you this morning, I would love it if you could put your hand up just so I could know that you prayed that prayer, so that I can just have a chat with you after and just encourage you and tell you a bit more about what is that way that Jesus would want to get to know you. So if that's you, I'd love you if you want to, while everyone's just not got their eyes open, if you want to put your hand up just so we can chat afterwards, because I would not want to miss any opportunity. Okay, great. Great. If you do want to come and talk to me afterwards, come and find me. But for the rest of us, let's just right now in our hearts just make that decision. Jesus, I don't want to lose sight of what the calling that you've put on my life. In the name of Jesus, right now, over every person in this room, everyone that has a calling, everyone here has a calling, everyone has a destiny that, Father, you have spoken and you've given. That, Father, any person who has forgotten it or it's fallen by the wayside, every person right now, in the name of Jesus, I speak an awakening again of that passion for Jesus, that first love, that coming back to everything that he's calling you to, that those gifts that have seemed like they've just been dying or have just died and you don't even know if they're there anymore. I speak of coming back to life, of coming back to that focusing on him where it's all about him and all for him. And Father, thank you, Lord. And this morning, this Pentecost Sunday, that Father, you would pour out your spirit on us afresh, baptize us afresh, Lord. Father, fill us with your power that we can go out and be your witnesses, Jesus. Father, for your name, for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.